Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
Little White Ball is life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone. What's going on, T-Bone? How you doing, my man?
What's up? Doing good. Happy Players Week. Happy Daylight Savings. Where all systems go.
It's the official season. Start of golf season, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to cut this from my wife because she thought it was really silly whenever I said that. And I was like, no, it's a real thing. She's like, is that something you made up? I was like, no, I'm pretty sure this is like universal everywhere. So I'm glad to hear you got my back, T-Bone.
Yeah, no, I got your back. It is kind of a bummer, though. I'm full on ready, but the forecast is looking brutal for like 2 weeks. But anyways, I agree with you. I got your back. Daylight savings is golf season.
Well, we're in a unique situation because we're coming from Houston, Texas, and we get to play golf all year round, which was her argument, which it's a valid argument, I will say. So, but again, we get to play golf all year round, but daylight savings, time, days are longer, more time for golf after work, generally warmer weather, except for this week, as you mentioned, crummy weather here in Houston, but excited to get out to the course. The Players is this week, the unofficial first major of the season. Coming out with a bang, Scottie Scheffler just put on an absolute clinic. He put on a clinic. That's the only way that I know how to explain what happened. He put on a show. It was kind of interesting there at the beginning of Sunday, but then, you know, the horses run the race, and he put on a show, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, when I think I was looking, I can't exactly remember when I was looking at the leaderboard, but around maybe end of Friday, it was looking kind of bleak with a lot of, I wouldn't say no names, but more or less no names, and Scottie Scheffler. And I'm like, this could get ugly quick, as in he runs away with it. And I thought something crazy was going to have to happen on Sunday for him to lose. And I think nothing that crazy happened. He just business as usual. We just watched him play golf. I was driving over to my parents' house, and after like hole six or seven, I was like, I guess I'll just, you know, enjoy watching him play golf, because it just doesn't really feel like a tournament anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I'm looking at his scorecard from Sunday. As I mentioned, him and Min Woo Lee, they were tied, I believe, after hole three on Sunday. And then Min Woo Lee just made a mistake. Then he made a mistake on top of his mistake. Like, that's the worst, when you compound on your mistakes that way. And especially when you're tied for the lead. I think Brandel Shanley said it on the post game. Min Woo Lee pulled three wood on four. Scottie Scheffler pulled driver on four. They both hit it in the rough, but Min Woo Lee had to lay up because of that pin position. Scottie Scheffler was able to muscle his way onto the green with a wedge because he was just that much closer. And then Min Woo Lee missed the green after that. Again, he compounded on his mistakes. And then from there, the rest was history. And then Scottie Scheffler, he got hot, birding five in a row, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Look, birding eight, that's a really good birdie. He took care of his business on the par fives, rolled in some putts on 10, and then obviously 12, since they redid the course. It's a drivable par four. He took care of business there in that middle stretch where you can walk away with three birdies plus, and he walked away with five.
Yeah. Now, going back to what you talked about with hole four, that was an interesting hole to watch, and it was the tournament, in my opinion. Min Woo, he had a 25-yard layup shot, and then kind of stubs it, spins it back in the water. And then Scotty definitely did not have an easy approach shot there. It was a hairy, almost uphill, side hill lie. And when he hit it, it almost looked like he didn't know if it was going to carry or not, but he did. And that was triple bogey. And then, you know, he makes par, and the rest of the guys chase him are pretty out far ahead. But I think we've been talking about, since we rebooted the pod, it's kind of been this three horse race. And I think Paul Azinger said it in the broadcast. He said, Rahm won Riviera, and he shot 65 on Thursday with Arnold Palmer, and everyone just kind of was ready to crown him. I won't react too hard, be the Monday afternoon react to a fresh win, but it did seem like Rahm was running away with it. But Scotty's, I mean, I don't know how you can't, you know, see him as the guy, as the clear number one. He's just so freaking good. And I think it is, I don't want to say this as a con, but he is kind of boring. I mean, I don't think he's got.
I wanted to bring this up. All right, let's break this down a little bit more. Please continue. But I'm glad you brought this up because this is something I wanted to talk about.
Okay. I mean, I would say Rahm and Rory are big personalities. We saw Rahm in the same position, ripping five woods from the bunker. I think he's gotten a little, he's settled down with his on-course antics, maybe a little since then. But off the course, Rory and Rahm are going to say some borderline crazy shit. They're not going to give you the one-word answers and one shot at a time. They're going to provide some color. And with Scotty, I wouldn't say how he plays isn't boring. He's, you know, he's doing the two-step side shuffle, hitting bombs, chipping in, burning edges. But I think maybe his personality is just kind of, yeah, I'm going to go eat some pie at my grandma's house after this.
Yeah. What was it last year at the Masters? Hey, what was your big mattress purchase? Oh, I bought a leaf blower. Like that's 100% a true story, by the way. He won the Masters, bought a leaf blower. Like, yard guy. He's a man of the people. Scottish, look, this shows you Scottie Scheffler is man of the people. Like, I don't know what more you want.
Yeah. No, yeah. To that point, he still drive his high school Suburban?
Yeah.
And then, in the full swing show, he was talking about, you know, I like this caramel flavored coffee. It's like, and then it's got Bryce or Brooks' wife in a bikini thong showing her ass. And he's like, yeah, I like coffee. So that's kind of where I'm going with this. I'm not going to knock him and say he's boring, but, you know, maybe the personality in the media is a little under the radar, which is probably a good thing to be a number one golfer in the world. But when you got guys like Rahm and Rory off the course and even on the course, they're going to give you a little more.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, look, I've had the pleasure of hanging out with Scotty here and there. He's just one of the guys, dude. Like, whenever you get him, like, what you see on camera is very much off the camera too, which I kind of like. I appreciate that because, and not to say that the other guys aren't, but when the cameras are on, it's easy to put on a show. And he's not putting on a show. He's Scotty all the way through. He's very consistent. And so, but also he's not afraid to poke jabs at people when he feels in a really comfortable situation, I think. So that's, yeah, I've heard the take recently that he's kind of boring. But to your point, his golf is 1,000,000,000% not boring whatsoever. Just look at he's sliding around all over the place. It looks like he's swinging on rollerblades, man. Like, I don't know how he hits the ball in the center of the face every single time, right? It's his golf. Yeah, look, we've talked a lot about this before.
We're doing a mid-show adjustment. My internet's ass. So okay. Continue on.
I'll continue. All right, I got speaker view on me now. So, knowing, we've talked a lot about this on the pod, but Scotty, Rahm, Rory, top three in the world right now. And it's so easy to get caught up on who is the best in the world because we're very much in the moment. John Rahm wins at Riviera. John Rahm wins, or did he win at Riviera? Anyway, John Rahm has three wins on the season so far. And he's dominating. Everybody's ready to crown him. Scottie Scheffler says, hold my beer. He's won six times in the last, 15 months or whatever it was. Ever since he won at the Waste Management in 2022, he has gone on an absolute tear, including Masters, a Players, the WGC Match Play, the Waste Management again. And honestly, he should have won the Tour Championship, but unfortunately, he just had a breakdown, and Rory ended up winning that tournament. But Scotty won Player of the Year last year, dude. Like, in You know, Jordan Spieth was asked about it, this once in a lifetime run, and because people have called that about Spieth too back in his run in 2015. And in Jordan's opinion, Scheffler is the best in the world. It really just depends. Like these guys, the margin for error is so slim. Who has the better day? That's really what it comes down to. And I think right now it's really easy for us to get caught up on Scheffler being the best in the world because Rahm had the WD. John Rahm wasn't even in the mix. He had a stomach bug and had to withdraw. I know I haven't heard anything if that's like actually true or not. There's always part of me, it's like somebody says they have the flu. I'm like, eh. I'm sure he actually was sick, just for the record. But yeah, it's when the fact that he wasn't even in the mix sucks. Rory McIlroy missed the cut, dude. He looked like he couldn't even find a fairway to save his life. And ironically, he kind of blamed it on having to add the new TaylorMade driver. So sucks for TaylorMade to hear that. But you know what I'm saying? It's a weird thing. It's so easy to get caught up into it, and we're guilty of that. We recognize that. And sometimes I don't care because right now, Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, it doesn't matter. They're the best in the world. And it's really just whoever plays better and or likes the course better. It really could be that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to be hard not to get caught up these next few months because I think it's going to be these three guys. But I do think, again, not to be too reactionary, but Scottie's got to be leading the charge here a little bit by Rahm. And then I think Rory's a distant third. But again, any given week, these guys are the favorites. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And, you know, as we get the majors, which this might be a good segue into golf gossip. We haven't really gotten into golf gossip yet. And there's a lot of juicy topics to cover this week. And the first one.
Absolutely. T-Bone, real quick.
Yeah.
Before we get off the players. Again, phenomenal week. We have to recognize Tom Hoagie for breaking the course record, firing a 62 on Saturday. He shoots 78 on Thursday, 68, I believe, makes the cut on the number at +2, fires a 62, ends up with the T3 finish. He goes from looking at flights to a top five finish, T3 finish, phenomenal. So I want to give some big shouts to Tom Hoagie.
Road home and coach after a $1.8 million paycheck. And I don't know if you already said this, 78 in the first round. So that's pretty incredible.
I just think that's worth mentioning before we get off.
So there are a few golf gossip topics. And one to stay a little bit relevant to the player still is Cam Smith had some headlines this week. There was one going around that he was going to show up as a fan. There was, I don't know if this is true or not, apparently texted Rory if he wanted to play this weekend. I don't know if that was true.
I don't know if that was true or not. I think that was more of like a meme that was going around.
Yeah,
which I think so. If he did, though, that is absolutely savage.
Yeah, brutal. But he did end up playing some nine-hole course down the road. Scotty T, I forgot this was your old stomping grounds back in the day.
Yep, it sure is. And, you know, that's part of the reason why I think I'm biased towards the Players Championship, just for all of our listeners out there. Yes, I did work for the tour for a very brief period of time. So I have a very strong affinity to the Ponte Vedra Beach, Jacksonville area, Jacksonville Beach too. You know, shout out to all the beach bars out there. Great times. But yeah, it's weird. He was the redid Jack's Beach, like the public course in Jack's Beach. I don't think he played that one. It's been a while. Obviously, it's been a long time since I played there, but yeah, I heard he was playing nine holes up the road versus defending his title at the Players Championship.
Well, that's kind of what I was going to get to. There's these few headlines that are a little gossipy, but I'm just thinking if I'm in Cam Smith's shoes, he could clearly, like, very easily be in the talks with, you know, this Rahm, Rory, Scheffler discussion. Home course down the road, defending champion, and he can't play because he's a competitor. He's so good, and I can't imagine how badly he wanted to play in that tournament. And I just don't know how LIV is compelling enough to pass that up. Right.
That's a great
down
point.
When you play there every day, you're defending champion, and it's just, you're watching. I to be a fucking what? I don't even know what team he's on.
Yo, to your pattern. Point, Skaff,
it's just
quick sidebar.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, quick sidebar. I don't know if we'll get to it or not. We might have to push it to next week. Reviewing Full Swing episodes 7 and 8. We might push that to next week for everybody. But I was watching it this weekend, and watching him take down Rory at the British Open kind of made me mad rewatching it again. It did, and it sucks that I feel that way because I like Cam Smith. I remember the first time I watched him was at the team event in Zurich when he was in the mix. I think him and his partner won. I forgot who he played with. But, you know, he's, what, 21 years old from Australia, weird-looking mustache, mullet, like, cool, whatever. And now he's one of the best. Dude, he's still ranked number 5. I'm looking at it right now. He's ranked number 5 in the world, and he hasn't gotten world ranking points in close to a year now. It's outrageous.
You can win the Masters.
Yeah, he could win the Masters, absolutely, 100%. If he wins the Masters, like, I don't know what I'll do. I'll do something drastic.
Something, I mean, the golf world's going to lose their shit.
This could have been one of his crowning moments. Players champion, British Open champion, you know, hometown. And he was nowhere. No live guy was shown on any promos whatsoever. Fascinating. I don't blame him. We expected that, but it was still weird to watch.
It kind of sucks, but anyways, I don't want that to overshadow Scotty's victory. He's
agreed.
Really setting himself apart, and he's an assassin. But continuing on the golf gossip, we got some other very big golf gossip from the Florida area over in Jupiter, I assume. But those of you that probably heard this already, but our boy on Tiger Woods is unfortunately back in the news with his love life, and it's a tough look. It's a very tough look. He really can't seem to get this right. In his defense, he's one of the most famous, complicated, interesting individuals in like the history of the world. So, anyways, those of you that don't know the details, Tiger has a long-term girlfriend. I think she actually managed one of his restaurants back in the day, but over time they started dating, I would say probably 5 to 10 years ago. And Tiger this past weekend fired off a text to her and said, "Meet us at the airport and pack your bags for a short vacation or a quick vacation." While Tiger's girlfriend's making the trip, he goes ahead and changes the locks on his mansion, and I think sends her a text or somehow notifies her that they're broken up. As a response to that, I think Tiger's wife has now, sorry, girlfriend is somehow suing him for roughly $30 million.
Correct.
And before any of this happened, before they started dating, I also know Tiger made her sign an NDA. So it's, it's not a great look. I don't know how you handle these situations when you're Tiger Woods, but it never seems to go very well for the guy. Anything else to touch on here, Scotty T?
I don't know. I don't know. So I'm reading TMZ Sports right now. This came out 4 hours ago, actually, 4 or 5 hours ago. It says Tiger Woods claims Erica Herman is no, well, because, you know, part of it claims that the NDA does not, that she supposedly signed. Again, this is all allegedly. If I misspeak, like, sorry, it's all allegedly. So I'm getting that out in the clear right now. Allegedly, she signed an NDA, and she claims that the NDA does not cover sexual abuse. So I think that's one of the big contingencies upon her suing Tiger for $30 million. So Tiger Woods, again, by TMZ, claims Erica Herman is no victim of sexual abuse, saying in a new court document obtained by TMZ Sports, she's simply a, quote, a jilted ex-girlfriend, end quote. Yikes. This is This is going to get messy. Let's just put it that way. It's already messy. To your point, man, I don't know of any sports figure off the top of my head that is so loved and touted as a phenomenal human being off the athletic field, off the golf course, and has such a complicated past. Not only, especially with women, well documented with women, but also with prescription drugs, with speed racing and cars. Like, it's a very complicated, but then you talk about a, I don't know. He's a very complicated person. And I don't know what to think right now. I really don't. Let us know in the comments. Let us know, like, comment on the YouTube page, send us an email, follow us on social media at 300 Par Pod. I don't know. I don't know what to think. Look, this doesn't necessarily make me like Tiger any less. Like, because I think that is so well established here. Like, nothing can really like take my love away from Tiger, barring him like pulling an OJ. But I don't see that ever happening. So, you know what I'm saying? It's nah, look, I'm
No.
not saying OJ did it either,
Oh,
but.
God. Middle of the road here. Actually, I don't want
Yeah, we gotta come back a little. You gotta come out of this a little bit, but yeah, it's man. This is here's my point. It's gonna get messier. It's gonna get messier. They have all these phenomenal moments. Tiger winning at the Tour Championship in 2018, winning the Masters in 2019. She's right there. She's right there. She's been with him for like 5+ years now, and he just changes the locks. That's crazy talent.
I want to say it's 10 years, but yeah,
I think they've been together for like about 5 years. Yeah, to your point, she managed the Woods restaurant near Jupiter, Florida, at Tiger's restaurant. So he's probably known her for a long time now.
and just to kind of put a bow on this, I mean the Tiger Woods saga is go watch the HBO documentary, go read The Big Miss by Hank Haney, a lot of stuff out there. But I think with Tiger, he was a total asshole. I mean, a lot of problems, but I think it reached a point. He had his kids, kind of turned the page, grew up, great guy, had a lot of like humbling injuries and 10-year span with no major. And I think during that time, he kind of grew up and changed his image. And it is just kind of unfortunate that this happened now, but it's kind of what I expect. I couldn't imagine, this cordially ending and mutually in a positive way. But hey, I wish him the best. Do you know what? Unfortunately, heals everything is winning. So
It's like in sale. It's like in business. Sales fixes a lot of problems. Same thing with athletes. Winning fixes a lot of problems. Look, I don't. So Tiger currently has 15 majors, 82 PGA Tour victories. So he's three back behind Jack, and he's tied with Sam Snead all time on PGA Tour wins. Do we really think Tiger is going to win again on tour? Like, I'm not going to be the guy that says no. I don't think he'll catch Jack, though, at this point. I will say that, unfortunately. Like, look, he's what, 46, 47 years old? Yeah, Phil won the PGA when he was 50 something years old. Oldest major championship winner ever. Tiger could beat that. He's just not healthy enough, man. That's the problem. He's playing, what, four or five events outside of the majors, maybe two events a year. That's just,
And it's
that's, he's not playing enough to get the wins. I think that's where I'm going with this.
almost like Phil is getting healthier.
Yeah,
He's
seriously.
on his coffee diets, he's hit the gym, he's trying to get speed. And Tiger, I mean, I will say Tiger's ball speed, swing speed, out driving Rory at Riviera, that was amazing. But putting it together
It's
for
not sustainable over 4 days right now.
it's gonna be tough. Again, I don't wanna say no either, but it's going to be really tough and probably won't win again, if I had to guess.
And look, to your point, it doesn't help that all these off the golf course issues are starting to arise. And also, his kids are getting older. I think his daughter's really into soccer. Everybody knows about Charlie Woods' future golf career. So he's probably getting more involved with that now at the moment. So it's not necessarily all about golf anymore for Tiger. And then you throw in all this other shit that's going on. It's tough. It's really tough.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I think that's it for golf gossip. Those were two good segments to get us back into it.
Yeah, it really was. It's look, again, just put a bow on it. We wish the best for Tiger. No ill will. I hope the situation get resolves quickly and probably quietly. It probably won't, but I hope it get resolves quietly. That's just better for all parties involved. Unless this Erica Herman girl is just looking to cause a scene, which she probably is.
Actually, one last thing on this.
Okay. And then we'll
Dude
move on.
who loves golf and has an absolute shit swing, it's OJ Simpson.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He plays so much golf right now, actually. Yeah, I think he plays like 3 times a week.
Good for him, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. We need to quit talking about OJ.
Man, this is really gone off the rails here, but we appreciate everybody sticking with us here. So again, bow on the week, Players Week, I think was a huge success. There were no, outside of that video of Cam Smith hitting balls in his backyard or whatever on the ocean, that surface, there was no really live distractions or live really talk, even from the media. I don't know if that was instructed by Jay Monahan leading up to the event. He probably is tired of talking about Liv and the other guys. So that it was really good to see that this Players Week was not about who wasn't there. It was more about who was there.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah, to your point, on Friday, I was like, who are these guys at the top of the leaderboard? I don't know. Minus Ricky Fowler and Scottie Scheffler, apparently, and Jason Day. And I was like, 2015, 2016, all over again. Here we go. But as I said last week, the cream rises to the top. Scottie Scheffler is the creme de la creme at this moment, especially with Jon Rahm not being there and then Rory just forgetting how to play golf for 2 days. I would say I was sad to see my boy Colin Morikawa take that back seat on Saturday. I was feeling really good about that pick after Friday when he dropped that, or after Thursday when he shot 65. But let's see, who was your pick going into the week, Scaff? Cantlay, I saw his name at the leaderboard at one point, but then I don't know if 17 got him.
Never gained that much momentum. He kind of bounced around, I think around six under or so,
Yeah.
but nothing too much from Cantlay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think overall this is kind of a weird tournament. There's
Okay.
feel like a lot of people don't like it or don't think it suits their games, and I want to say Tiger's only won the Players twice,
Correct.
which is kind of surprising. And I don't know, I think you can tell me more about it, but I think there's part of it is it's not really a driver's golf course, hence Rory, maybe not doing that well there. I know he won a few years ago, but I mean, you look at the leaderboard on Sunday and Homa was making a charge, but for the most part, you have Cam Davis, Minwoo, Hoagie, like a
Tyrrell
lot of guys.
Hatton.
Tyrrell Hatton, yeah.
He finished second, solo second.
We need to talk about Hatton's finish.
Phenomenal. I'm what so his
29,
last
I believe, on the back nine.
29, he bogeyed nine. What? He bogeyed nine? That's a silly bogey. Yeah, and then birdies 10, 12, and then 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Finished with 5 straight birdies. That's
For a
incredible.
generous, I want to say $2.1 million check for second
Yeah.
place, all-time highest paying second place finish. Probably his
Not too
all-time
bad.
biggest payday, second place finish.
It wouldn't surprise me. Dude, do you know he's only 31? I thought he was like 38.
Yeah, he looks kind of old. Speaking of people that look old, Scottie Scheffler looks like he's 38. That's a guy that looks old.
Yeah. And
But
he is 26.
yeah, he's got a lot of golf left. A
He
lot of golf
has,
left.
oh, he's 26, bro. He's gonna be on tour for another 25 years. I don't know if he'll be around by then. I'm just kidding, hopefully. But yeah, so other notable names, Victor Hovland, T3, Hideki Matsuyama, he made a charge, your boy Sungjae Im. He made a late charge there too, but then he shot 72 on Sunday. Yeah, he finished 37 on the back nine, so that was tough for him.
You know, it was a great, what
David
was your
Lingberg too.
David Lingmerth? Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh. He played really well here like 10 years ago. It's weird. One thing that was great about this week was I was kind of worried it was going to be a boring Sunday, which it was, but I think what makes this tournament is a eventful 17th hole. And holy shit, did we get that? There were a ton
Oh.
of water balls, three hole in ones, which was like off the charts for what they normally get. They had a hole in one on three different days. So it was just super eventful. I think this hole is pretty brutal to watch when someone loses a tournament on it. So there was nothing that bad, but it was really eventful. Some guys lost a ton of money that were not really playing for first, but are just playing for top tens. I mean, a ton of money. So I think that really makes a good players week is when you have an eventful 17th hole island green. We saw it all.
Yeah, how about Aaron? I might pronounce the last name Aaron Raw.
Aaron Rye, do you know who that is?
No, I don't, but he has two gloves and got a
He's
hole in
the
one on
English.
Sawgrass.
Englishman, two gloves, iron head covers.
He has iron head covers.
Yeah, and two black gloves.
Stop. Stop. No, he doesn't. He's
Yeah.
on tour and has two head covers, or he has iron covers.
He
That's it.
takes pride in it. It's kind of a cool story. He said it was a huge investment for him to get clubs when he was little, so he just treated them like they were his life, and he's like, it's kept me humble to keep doing it, but yeah. Not a great look.
Look, all right, that's a damn good answer, but dang it, I still hate it. Okay, I have a hot take. We have 2 minutes until Zoom cuts us off, then we'll come back. But hot take, I think there were too many hole outs. I thought there were too many hole in ones. I thought there were too many hole outs this week. I don't know why. I don't know if they changed the pin positions. I noticed on Sunday they had the up at the front of the green twice. Like, you're just asking for it at this point, right? Like, they're hitting a pitching wedge in or a gap wedge in anyway. You just throw it back about 15 feet past the hole. It's going to spin back down the hill. Your chances are of getting a hole in one increase dramatically.
On 17?
Yeah.
Well, they have the traditional Sunday pin.
Yes, which I forgot who it was, but whoever got the hole in one that
One hop.
bounced in the
Yeah.
rough one hop, that was sick. If
That was
not, that
awesome.
sucker's going in the water. But. Dude, there just seemed like people were holing out from all over the place, middle of the fairways. Minwoo Lee holed out on number one on the Saturday, and then three, as you mentioned, three hole in ones on Sunday or on 17 this week. Dude, they went in a 20-year stretch with no hole in ones. For the longest time, they would show Miguel Angel Cabrera with his nasty 2002 mustache, and like it was before his hair got long too. It looked
Fred
nasty.
Stumbles.
Freddie Couples, that was the only one, and now you have. Raw, he got one. Who else got one? Like the person who's in the like Ram or gosh, I should know this, but or done my Chad Ramey got one, I believe. Let's see, is that right? No, he didn't. It wasn't him. Anyway,
Chad Ramey blew the lead on 17. He made a
yeah.
seven.
Oh, that's right. The point is, and then Willie Wilcox got one with the yellow ball back a few years back, like. Man, which he has an interesting story too. We should do a deep dive on that. But point is, my hot take, there were too many hole outs. Look, I still loved it, but too many hole outs. They need to make the pins tougher.
I respect your take, and I think it's terrible. I think it's a terrible take. I
Thank
love
you.
hole in ones on an island green. Come on. That's what
I'll
makes
stand
golf.
by it. I'll stand by it. Give me one, two max for a tournament. If you have more than two, told me the pin was too easy.
Wrong.
Wrong. Before we do top five, T-Bone, there's one other thing we have to bring up. Jordan Spieth hits a pedestrian. He's gonna miss the cut. He's sitting on number nine. He's about what, even par, I believe. I think he was even par.
He was no, I think he was two over.
He was definitely going to miss the cut either way. Slices it off into
the cut line was
it.
The cut line was plus two. And he's going into his last hole on Friday.
Okay,
go ahead.
Yeah, he hits a guy. His ball's going in the water. Hits him on the knee. Goes back into the fairway, and then proceeds to chip in for eagle to make the cut. Unbelievable, dude. And then he ends up having a pretty decent week. Let's see. He ended up with T19, 66 on Saturday, 72 on Sunday. But again, he kind of like Tom Hoagie was looking at flights and then ends up playing the weekend because it hit a guy and he chipped in for eagle. It's outrageous. One of the most craziest things I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, that was wild. Spieth ended up giving the guy a signed glove. I think he gave him tickets for the rest of the week and signed a flag for him and stuff. But Spieth in his interview is like, I will give this guy whatever he wants. And the guy was like a ex-Marine or something. He's like, I'll, whatever, I don't want anything. But I think Spieth gave him tickets and a signed flag. So it was pretty cool.
What would you do, Thomas, if Jordan Spieth were to come up and say, hey, I'll give you whatever you want, thanks for helping make the cut? What would you ask for?
That's a great question. I would probably say I would love tickets for the rest. So I wouldn't want to be a total dick and ask for the world, but I think something that would be easy and maybe I think middle of the road, I'd say, hey, no worries. Would love tickets for the rest of the week. And, can you give me a quick tour and help me out in the Titleist van? Show me around and maybe a new set of clubs.
Okay.
Maybe set of wedges, that. maybe full bag.
Ooh.
I think with one of those things, Spieth wouldn't want this to be like, I don't want to deal with this guy long term. I think you need to get your ask in the weekend. So what about you?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought about that. You got to get your ass in quick so that not to make it drag out all along, because I actually thought about this for a second. I think I would ask for a round of golf at Dallas National with Jordan Spieth. I think that's what I would ask for. Look, we're in Houston. We're not terribly far from Dallas. I'd be like, hey, next time you're in Dallas, I'd love to play golf with you at Dallas National.
That would be good. That's a good ass. What's the worst he can say?
Yeah, he said I could have whatever I want. I want to go play like the nicest course in Texas.
Yeah.
One of the nicest courses. One of the most private courses too in Texas. Dallas National with Jordan Spieth.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I already got my clubs.
I wonder how much truth there is to, or what's the most you could ask that he would honor?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, you don't want to take him to the bank, right? You don't want to ask for anything outrageous. I don't know if I would even ask for, like, a hospitality tickets. Like, if I was going to ask for tickets for the rest of the weekend, great. Can I get clubhouse access or some sort of hospitality venue? But instead, if I were to ask for just ground tickets for the rest of the week, I would want an experience with Jordan Spieth. That's why I would like to play a round of golf.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I would be happy with either one of those options. The set of clubs from the custom clubs from the Titleist tour van, or head up for a road trip, meet Jordan for 18. Yeah, both those sound great.
I mean, we don't even have to do lunch or drinks if we don't have to, but I just want to play the round of golf. I would assume that'd be included, but I don't want to assume anything.
good stuff.
All right. Well, there's no other easy or hard way to transition here, but we're going to take a full 90-degree left turn, bring you a top five this week on Monday, March 13th. So as this drops on Tuesday, March 14th, T-Bone, again, it's March. March Madness is in the building. So before we fill out our brackets, I don't think we can do – I think next week is the WGC, right? No. It's the Valspar. And then Matt – and then the WGC. So it's hashtag bracket season. So we're not doing a bracket right now, but in honor of March Madness, we're going to give you our top five college golf programs in the U.S. So I think T-Bone, to set some parameters, I think we need to I mean, you can do whatever value you want here, but I think it's just going to be all time. Look, I'm not going to go down the top five rankings just for this year. That's too easy. So we're going to give the all-time best college golf programs. I think you base it off relevancy, players who've come out of it, and then just like reputation, if that makes sense. So I don't know if there's that's what I'm going to consider.
Okay. We're on the same page. I love it. This one's getting me excited.
Perfect. So T-Bone, I went first last week, so I'm going to shoot it over to you. Who you get first pick in the top five snake draft.
Love it. And I will say, I appreciate all the votes from the Instagram viewers. I think it's 1-1 right now. I think I won the, what was our first
you won
one?
You won the first one in it.
President's Cup.
Yeah, you won the first one in a landslide. I will say that the second vote was way too close. I thought I had smoked.
I'll admit defeat. The fact that I missed Crenshaw and that he fell to four spots, unacceptable. So
maybe that shows our Instagram following is geared a little bit more towards you, Scab. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Come on, people. We need you to go follow at 3andapartpod. Where are the boys at?
Yeah.
And girls and friends, whatever.
Yeah. All right. I'll go ahead and kick things off. So I won't be biased here and pick Division III Concordia University out of Austin. Great program, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to make my list today. Also, no disrespect to KJ. Don't think Dallas Baptist is going to make the list either. So
no, it's not.
It's tough to keep those off the list. But number one, I think this is a blue chip.
Blue blood,
whatever. Golf school. This is like the most iconic golf school, and it's because of the gentleman we've been talking about earlier, Mr. Tiger Woods. Got to go with the Stanford Cardinals, my number one pick. As of late, they haven't had quite as much come from the program, but they do have a lot of success. Men and women's golf, they're always near the top. Such a cool place to play. Great school to be at. And you have Tiger Woods. So got to take Stanford Cardinal, number one.
I think that's a great pick. First overall, can't go wrong with that. Tiger Woods, Patrick Cantlay, Maverick McNeely, most recently, I would say. Oh, I'm sorry. Patrick Rogers.
Patrick Rogers.
Correct. Yeah. Where did Cantlay go to school? Was it Cal?
UCLA.
UCLA. Okay. Yeah. You can't go wrong with it. It's probably, when you think college golf, Stanford is probably the go-to. Really, after that, I think there's a lot of really close programs.
Yes.
So
I will also, before you chime in, I don't want to brag on myself too much, but I have a weird in-depth knowledge of where professional golfers went to college.
I didn't realize this. Apparently, Stanford won the national championship back in 2019. That's a lot more recent than I would have expected. So, all right, for my next one, I'm going to be a little bit biased here. I'm going to go with the University of Texas. University of Texas, we know the greats, including Ben Crenshaw and Tom Kite, Justin Leonard. We talked a lot about this actually last week on our podcast. And then most recently, Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, also Harvey Penick. He was the golf instructor there for a long time. Coach John Fields, he's won a couple of national championships. So there would have been other Big 12 schools, honestly, I would have put above University of Texas. But I think especially with the more recent success, the players who have come out of it too, UT is my number one overall pick.
It's a great pick. I also, how awesome would it be to be able to play UT Golf Club all the time? I mean, their facilities, the setup, the history and the near term. I mean, like you said, Crenshaw, Kite, you got Scheffler, Spieth,
Leonard, stacked.
Yeah. No, it's a good pick.
Thank you. All right. Who's your number two?
Round two, I'm going to go OK State, keep it in the Big 12.
Yep.
Very, very similar vibe, similar color, a lot of tradition, a lot of recent grads. I always got to bring this up, that I want to say, I don't know your exact prediction, but it was, I want to say that Matt Wolf be the best Oklahoma State golfer of all time, which is incredible, which could have maybe happened, but
he came out the gates hot. He won on the PGA Tour first before Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland, if I'm not mistaken. So, and then we all know because they were the big three guys that came out of the class. So, yeah, that was my take. I thought he was going to be better than Charles Howell III, Hunter Mahan, Ricky Fowler, all these guys that come out of that great program. But, yeah, no, that was – Oklahoma State was – I mean, they could have gone in the first round easily.
Yeah. I feel like they've cooled off as of late. I could be wrong on that. But, again, just the history there. Hovland, Wolf, Ricky Fowler, Scott Verplank, Hunter Mahan, Peter Uihlein. We want to keep, man, they got a good live golf. They got a good live golf presence over there. I don't know if that's what they want to hear, but yeah, live golf or shit. Oklahoma State round two. That's my second pick.
Okay. So, all right, I'm going to switch it up here. I'm going to go SEC for my number two pick. I'm going to go with the Georgia Bulldogs for number two. Georgia Bulldogs, University of Georgia. Bubba Watson has come from there. Kevin Kisner, Brandon Todd. Brian Harmon. Okay, this article claims Patrick Reed. Let's not
claim
Patrick. He got kicked off the team. What are we doing? He did help Augusta State win though back to back championships. So
how many players went to Georgia? Keith Mitchell,
Harris English, Keith Mitchell, Hudson Swafford, Russell Henley.
Gosh,
yeah, they have some, no pun intended, some dogs who have come out of the University of Georgia. So that's why I think UGA. To your point, though, it's more the calibers of player that have come out of there recently. I don't even know if they've made it to this final eight into the match play for nationals recently, but there's still some phenomenal golfers have come from that program.
Nice. All right, so you went with the quantity pick there. I'm going to go more quality. Quality of golf come from this program. Go back to the West Coast desert. I'm going to go ASU. Arizona Sun Devils, Phil Mickelson, John Rahm. That's a pretty good alma mater right there. Then there's a bunch of randos that went there. Pat Perez, I think Paul Casey went there. I'm sure their alumni is crazy. There's more people that I'm missing, but that's like a golf school. Phil Mickelson was a coach for a while. I just think of them as a golf school. I think that would be such a cool school to play for. I bet they have awesome. I actually have seen their practice facility. It's awesome. They have like their own clubhouse for the team and stuff. So I think that'd be a pretty awesome place to play at.
Okay. Yeah. No, I like it. I think I forget that. Did Phil graduate from there? I think he turned pro early, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I think he graduated.
Yeah, he might have. I really don't remember.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I like that. I'm going to kind of go with you here. Man, this is where it gets a little bit dicey. I'm going to go with some recency bias here, T-Bone, and go Alabama for my number three pick. Again, another Southern school, but I mean, there have been some phenomenal players that have come out of the University of Alabama. Justin Thomas, man, I know I just said it. Who? Sorry?
Trey Mullinax.
Yeah, Trey Mullinax. Davis Riley, who had a good finish last week at Bay Hill. There's also been so many good amateur players here that, look, there's a reason why they won back-to-back national championships in 2013 and 2014. Guys that we know who necessarily didn't pan out on tour. I mean, there's a billion of those guys, but Corey Whitsett, Bobby Wyatt. I mean, those are some really – I mean,
legends.
Bobby Wyatt, people look it up. He shot 56 in the Alabama Junior. That is a true story. He shot 56 in the Alabama Junior, and he didn't make it on tour. That just shows how tough it is to make it on tour. I don't want to hear it from anybody. You know, why can't you make it on tour? It's effing hard to make it on tour. So they had some phenomenal amateur golfers led by Justin Thomas at that stage. So that's why I'm going recency bias, Alabama for my number three pick.
I like it.
Roll Tide. No,
they've become pretty dominant And it'd be awesome to just play golf there when you can watch football kind of in the off season, just watch them dominate. So I think that's a good pick.
Thank you.
I'm going to go number four. I'm going to go Wake Forest.
You took my pick.
A lot of tradition with the GOAT, Arnold Palmer. They have the Arnold Palmer Golf Scholarship every year that's awarded to some badass golfer that they get every year. But I know Webb Simpson's gotten that scholarship. I want to say Zalatoris has gotten it before, or got it after him. But yeah, I guess kind of more recent, just thinking about it, you have Zalatoris and Cameron Young. I bet that was a damn good team. But you've got Bill Haas from Wake Forest. I do kind of get them mixed up with Vanderbilt sometimes, just like same colors, not very good at football, good golf schools. But Wake Forest has some studs. They have Arnold Palmer. So that's going to be my fourth pick. Demon.
I like it. I like it. That was going to be my next pick if people weren't going to go for it. Yeah, people don't really – I think people forget that Will Zalatoris went to Wake Forest too. So continuing on that tradition of Arnold Palmer and Webb Simpson and the like. So I think that's a good pick for number four. I think that's pretty appropriately placed for the fourth pick. So for my fourth pick, T-Bone, I'm going to go a little bit further down the road. Ironically, sticking in the SEC, I'm going to go with the University of Florida for my number four pick. There have been some dogs, again, that have come out of the University of Florida. Mark Calcavecchia, Chris DeMarco, Billy Horschel. Didn't
Camilo Villegas?
Villegas, yes. Villegas, what I was, Brian Gay. Like, they're at every.
Yeah.
Florida. They have the history, the tradition. And again, Florida gets a rap known for playing golf too. There's so many even just good small college programs down in Florida with the amount of golf courses they have. And Florida being the state university or the flagship. I don't know. Are they considered the flagship university of Florida? Because Florida State and Miami are pretty big too. I don't know. I'd like, you know what I'm saying? Like the University of Texas is the flagship university of the state of Texas. Sorry, Aggies. Sorry, Bears. Texas Tech, whatever. Like, UT is the flagship university. So, because I think of the name, I don't know if University of Florida, people say that about that school. But, yeah, great, great program. So, that's why they're my fourth.
I like it. Yeah, I was so dead set on picking that for my fifth. So,
gotcha.
It just feels like a golf school. It's a good pick. Damn.
It gets getting dicey here for this fifth one because there are a lot of ones that could make the pick, could not make the pick. We also could be totally missing one too. So again, let us know in the comments on who you think we missed.
Yeah. Man, I wish I could phone a friend here.
If you include University of Arizona, I'm going to give you such a hard time.
No, for the record, I'm not
taking both it. Okay.
So let's see. I've gone California, Arizona, Oklahoma, Carolina. So I got some pretty good geographical spread there.
Yep.
So with that in mind, I think I'm going to go down south with you as well. I'm going to go Florida State.
Okay. Nice.
I wanted to pick a Florida school, and unfortunately you took my pick. And really the only two that come to mind with Florida State are Brooks and Berger. There's got to be more golf alumni from that school, but again...
Is that where Paul Azinger went? Paul Azinger?
No, he went to a tiny school that I've never heard of.
Okay.
Pretty sure. But honestly, I think you've got to have a Florida school on your list. Florida State, fortunately, is my second pick, but I'm sure the facilities, access, golf courses, all that stuff is awesome. And yeah, I got to round out the list with Florida State.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to think of who else has gone there. I can't really think of one off the top of my head. You know, it's weird too, because there are a lot of good guys who never really went to college or graduated early, to where it's hard to know who exactly like went where sometimes, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I do like it whenever every now and then on the broadcast they'll show the college that that person went
Yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Pretty sick. I like that. T-Bone, I want to circle back real quick to Wake Forest, if that's okay. We missed out a pretty big one. Lanny Watkins went to Wake Forest as well. Major champion. Worth noting. Just wanted to
Yeah.
clear that up here. So, man, I really kind of want to throw you a curveball for my fifth pick, but I don't think I will, unfortunately. Maybe I will. I don't know. There's so many good programs out there. I'm stalling, honestly. Good facilities. Look, all right, in the running. All right, I'm just gonna pick one, and then we'll do maybe a few honorable mentions. Maybe I'm not gonna pick one. I'm gonna go with LSU. LSU won the national championship in 2015. Maybe it's another SEC school. It's just hard to win. There's a lot of great talent out there. Guys like Smiley Coffin, Andrew Loop have come from LSU, to among
Sam
others,
Burns,
Sam Burns, absolutely. So,
David Toms.
yeah, that's right. I forgot about David Toms. Wow, you do know this stuff. What? That's
No,
weird.
it's weird. It's weird. Lexi Thompson's brother,
Yeah,
LSU.
that's right.
And his Instagram handle is LSU Bomb Squad.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's kind of douchey, but I like
No, I think that's good. I was kind of struggling on my fifth pick as well, but sounds like they have more alumni than Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, those are just some of the few off the top of my head. Some other ones that are in the running. T-Bone, if I miss one, let me know. North Carolina, UNC, University of Oklahoma as well. Let's see. For that run there, Augusta State. I think it is worth noting, as much as we give them a hard time, Texas A&M is worth mentioning. They've won a couple national championships, so they've been in the mix. So I think A&M, Ryan Palmer's come from there. They're worth noting. How about Illinois? Illinois is also a program up
Oh,
north.
yeah.
Yeah, Illinois and Oregon. Those would be my other two honorable mentions.
Northwestern's got a few weird names. Matthew Fitzpatrick, Luke
Kind
Donald.
of.
Yeah, for a year. Luke
I
Donald.
knew. Yeah.
A school that's very recently been good that I've heard is like one of the coolest schools in the country is Pepperdine.
Won the national championship in 2021. That's right.
On the water, so hit the gala. They've always been good the last few years. Another school that you would never think of that has a lot of alumni is UNLV.
Okay.
Charlie Hoffman, Spencer Levine. Do you know what's kind of I don't think they're worth a top five just because it's been so long, but I think we at least need to give a shout out to U of H.
Read my mind. I was going to say that as well. U of H had a string there in the 80s, I think in early 90s, where they were the premier golf program in the country.
Fred Couples,
Jim Nance.
Steve Elkington was on that team, maybe.
I think so.
Jim Nance. Do you know who actually enrolled at U of H for like I think a month and a half, maybe?
Who's
That
that?
might be generous. Faldo. Nick Faldo.
No way.
Y'all are
Really?
gonna the listeners are gonna have to double check, fact check me on that, but I think I heard that Nick Faldo enrolled at U of H. But
Wow.
one of the great U of H stories I heard was with Freddie Couples. So just to give you an idea of how good they were, they recruited Fred Couples from Seattle. Fred Couples is from Seattle, and the story is that when Fred Couples got recruited, he ended up wanting to sign with U of H. So school starts and Fred Couples hasn't shown up. And they're like, what's going on? And a couple weeks go by and he shows up like 3 weeks into school. And apparently he just played golf his whole way down, driving from Seattle to Houston. He'd just make stops and play golf for a few days. Did that the whole way down. Showed up to school super late. So, yeah, that's a old story about old Freddie Couples in U of H. But
that's an all-time story.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, I think these were good lists. That was a fun one.
I was.
Looking
kind of
forward
going down
to
memory lane a
tournament.
Little bit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, we appreciate you tuning in to the 300 Par Pod on YouTube, as well as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcast. You're still listening to us. That means you have to subscribe. YouTube channel, T-Bone, last I checked, let me refresh. We are sitting at 198 subs on YouTube. So we're so close to the 200 mark. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Help us get to 200 and beyond. To the moon. At least 2,000. That's our goal. Get it 2,000 subs. Follow us on our social media channels at 300 Par Pod. That is the number 300 Par Pod, Twitter and Instagram. Again, write us that review. We appreciate y'all. Great week. Players Championship. Phenomenal week. Again, it was all about the players, which was good, which was right. TPC Sawgrass delivered as it always does. And congrats again to the champion, Scotty Scheffler. Now, we have a few weeks, WGC. We have Valspar, WGC in Austin, and then I think San Antonio, and then we're dreaming of white dogwoods and azaleas, my friend. Can't wait. T-Bone, any other parting thoughts for the good people?
No, I think just to wrap things up, the golf high has been really high. I think we'll get back down to earth a little bit with the Valspar this week. This one doesn't really necessarily move the needle for me, but it'll give us the energy we need for the Texas swing and Augusta National.
Yes. You know, honestly, I do miss the Houston Open being the week before the Masters personally. So again, this is not a Houston Open pod episode, but we will probably break all that down here come fall, especially with the new schedule coming out. Team, and that's something we didn't get to necessarily, was talking about the new elevated event and everything that goes along with that. That's probably going to be a good topic for next week. Because again, I think you said it best. We're probably coming back down to earth a little bit with the Valspar this week. But I will still be watching and hope you will as well. T-Bone, I think that wraps it up for this episode of the pod. Again, thank you everybody for tuning in. Let us know what you think about the players, top five, and anything else. We appreciate you. For T-Bone, I'm Scotty T. And remember,
little white ball is white.